Hey, what up again? This is Soul the Pop Kid for the network. Just posted another panel. We did Talking Wrestling. As always, started in the middle because I was having recording problems. Let me check out and I'll post another one of my panels recorded in a couple minutes. Let's check it out, guys. Let me know what you think.
SmackDown's been kind of killing it lately. If you're big in the sports entertainment. NXT and quality wise is really, really good if you're focused on work rate. But you know, in terms of like ratings and not all that, I don't think Raw will be in a decline. I mean, WWE as a whole will be in a decline. Although I kind of want to see what happens this year when they have to compete with Monday Night Football.
That's true. Yeah, because this was also the year where Raw had the lowest ratings, or last year technically.
Yeah.
Because they were beating football. But yeah, that's
right. Keeping it PG-13.
Yeah, we are keeping it. That's true. All
right.
So who else wants to come on up? We'll just start picking random people. Yeah, get on up here. All
right.
Give them a hand, guys.
Well, do I have to pick it, or can I ask my question?
No, you got to pick it. It has to be random.
Oh, which is just.
You can ask the question afterwards and pick one.
Here's my question. Is AEW repeating TNA's mistakes, hiring older wrestlers?
Believe it or not, okay.
Well, let's see what, do you have an opinion on that?
I feel like we're still letting the younger guys shine, and maybe the old guys are just there for mentoring. However, it seems like they're trying to push Christian to maybe have a title run, and also way too much time is being invested in Sting. When he's not really bringing much other than like a quick promo.
And what was your other wrestling question before we get to that?
Oh. Alright,
so.
My other wrestling question?
No, it's not. Oh, it's in there?
Okay, no. That was it.
So, what do you think on that?
Me? Okay, so.
You're managing guys.
Alright, so. There is a lot of criticism about that. I see this so much on Twitter. Statistically, no. Because AEW's, if you really look at it, AEW's only really grabbing the WWE wrestlers who they seem that have an insane amount of potential. Like, yeah, Andrade and Malakai Black are like the two biggest examples.
Eric Bischoff.
Yeah. Well, like when you use a, like, I think AEW, when it comes to like using like the older cast like that, I think they're using them properly in terms of like giving the younger guys a rub and like kind of a push. I kind of do like how they're doing Sting, because having him kind of be that mentor figure to Darby Allin is like the best route. Is like kind of a really good, not, I wouldn't say the best, but it's like a really good route for him, because I think Sting would be a really good fit for it.
So, on the cover of that, as we move on, I kind of like some of the stuff Impact Wrestling is doing now. So, I don't know if they're necessarily repeating the same mistakes, but they are definitely utilizing the same talents. I mean, I know there's so many new... Because, like, what new talents would you say are from AEW? Like, I know they picked up a lot of indie stars, but, like, what, like, actual new talents from AEW that they think we utilize well? Because I would say Darby Allin, but he was, like, big on the indie scene.
All right, so do you count the wrestlers that are shown on Dark and Dark Elevation?
I don't know if I necessarily do.
I have one on mind that AEW did just highlight that is actually a really good wrestler, Wheeler Yuta. He is actually like...
Speaking of mine.
He is actually like really phenomenal. And they did kind of let him shine quite a bit. There are several other wrestlers who I have been keeping track of that are kind of shown on Dark and Elevation, like Reka Tahaka.
Okay,
again, and she's one of those wrestlers that's like, looks alone, it can kill. I prefer her older outfits, but, you know, I think she can kind of get the type of character she gets across a bit just as well.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. I guess we'll move on to the next question. Did you get a sticker right away? Okay, to make sure.
Right.
So who else wants to come on up? How about you in the Saints hat? Just chilling in the back on the phone. I mean, he's trying to like ignore me. You want to come on down and pick a wrestling question? Yeah.
So you got a cop on me.
I'll probably get everyone because it's a short crowd. And if we run out of questions, trust me, this guy can fill a book.
If it helps, you can face audience too.
Can you read it?
Yeah. See what this is.
Oh. You want me to say it?
Right.
So this question is saying, like, and we'll let you answer it. Should wrestlers be, like, tweeting, like, opinion, political beliefs, their policies, or, like, wrestling for everyone? So, like, an example is, you know, how, like, again, this is a PG panel. Rollins is a WWE, like, you know, homeboy. Like, he's a WWE loyalist. So, like, he gets, like, all butthurt, like, his boy Moxley when he jumps ship. But do you think, so, like, I guess the question is, do you think people should voice their, like, their political views, even wrestler on Twitter or, like, other social platforms as a black man?
For me, it doesn't really matter. I think how they want to use their social media is up to them and their personal brand.
That's a fair answer.
Right.
Give them a hand, guys. You can pick a sticker. Your thoughts?
Huh?
Do you have thoughts on that, Maddie?
You don't have no stuff,
Rob? All right. So, typically on Reddit,
I think we did.
More and more often, I keep quiet. There is a time and place where I didn't.
Maybe they took them off.
And believe me, it got ugly. And believe me, on Reddit, it got ugly when I tried to talk politically with people. It's just like, oh my God. and the thing is, if you want to make friends in the United States, there are 2.5 things you don't want to talk to. So the first two is politics and religion, and the other half is sports. And we're not talking about, like, pro wrestling. We're talking about, like, football, basketball, soccer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, that's, like, the half of it.
That's a pretty fair answer.
Yeah.
All right, so who else is coming on? You want to come on? You can come on up. Give her a hand, guys. She has a Rick and Morty shirt.
Can I get a Leroy
Jenkins? Can I get a hold on? It's not a wrestling question.
Okay. Hold on. I got it. Leroy Jenkins.
That's fair. Oh. Ooh. Okay. Who was your favorite group of all time? The Shield, Nexus, Four Horsemen, etc.
Oh my God, that is a hard question.
Let her answer it. Do you know about the factions?
Not really well, but I will say.
Oh, you're a fan of Ric Flair.
Woo! Oh. Yeah. Oh my God.
Let everyone go a giant woo.
Woo!
No one.
All right, you want to answer that, or should I answer that? Because mine's a bit of a long one. It's a bit of a difficult question.
Let me ask it. Do you know Rollins, Roman, John Moxley, Dean Ambrose?
Yeah, the Shield.
Okay, so your answer would be the Shield.
No. No. I'm a UE. I'm a UE kind of person.
Okay. Oh, Undisputed Era. Nice. She's a pretty solid choice.
So, if I had to pick from those three, I think I gotta go. Let's go and go with the Four Horsemen, Rick Flair, and all them. But what would be your answer of those three? The Nexus, the Shield,
it's gonna be a different one. Honestly though, there's a lot of great stables going around. Like, you could literally make a little mini series, kind of like a Gangland pro wrestling edition with all these stables. So I have two favorite ones. One of them is the Bullet Club.
He's a Japanese mark, by the way.
And the other one is the complete Los Ingobernables. And pardon me if I butcher the pronunciation, but the Los Ingobernables umbrella, that includes the prime Los Ingobernables, La Facción Ingobernables, and Los Ingobernables de Japón, which is LIJ. So those are the two, like, I've been circling around a whole lot. And since Andrade went to AEW, and AEW have all these, like, partnerships, I kind of want to see that again.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty interesting. So, all right, so who's next? Who has not gone? I'll probably get to everyone. Want to come up? Come up and pick a random question. That's a pretty cool hot crew. Bless me.
What are your thoughts on a reaction, or probably a return to live crowds? Stars of seeing big on TV may not get a live reaction.
Well, you want to answer it first? What do you have?
That's actually, believe it or not, that's actually a really good question.
Well, I was thinking, I watched, I don't want to call any names and hurt a wrestler's feelings, but I watched SmackDown, the most recent one, and I felt that some of them weren't getting the pop that the commentary was trying to get across.
Yeah.
Not to hurt anyone's feelings, but there's a difference between the crowd reaction and the way they were trying to talk them up.
Yeah, again, like WWE, again, like when we talk about WWE and crowds, it's...
Do you want a sticker? You can pick one.
Okay. Oh, yeah, when we talk about WWE and crowds, it's a bit crazy. It's a bit of a different one. With WWE, and it's weird too, because you know the golden rule, and if you understand like the history of GW, you kind of don't want to be at your a war at your own fan base for a long period of time, and that's what WWE has done. And so what ended up happening a lot is that crowds would hijack the crowd or kind of just outright reject the people they want to push. Doesn't happen all the time, but you know this is happening much more often.
Yeah.
Now, if we were to talk about like AEW or any other promotion, it's a lot different.
What do you think, as far as you know, because you're Japan, Mark, and now they just don't let them like cheer or wear masks, or no, now you can't even go to the shows now.
No, that's
because of closed borders.
Well, no, that's been etiquette in Japan where they don't.
But I'm talking about even now with the pandemic, because they just like said we're closed borders.
Even when like the troubles in Japan ended, like they'll still like have a tendency to not cheer because that's just etiquette over there.
But how do you feel that as far as like crowds? Are you for that? Are you against it?
Oh no, I'm for. Well, depends. So, well, that kind of varies because it's kind of tricky.
That's why.
Like if you know the pandemic's spreading really badly. Sorry, I'm not confident. I have been vaccinated. I have been vaccinated, but.
All right.
It's good timing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That is my bad.
We can move on. I have to tell you, because like that's why like Lucha Libre or AAA fans are nuts in the stands. They don't care about restrictions whatsoever. I mean, it's Mexico, but it's... Have you been to Lucha Libre or CML show? People get stabbed and shot at in this audience. It's nuts. They throw rocks.
Oh, no. There's this one dude who almost died because I think it was somebody who like tried to throw a cinder block at him. And it would, I was like, oh, my God.
So we have plenty of time. We'll go all the way to 11:30. Go on.
That question, though, even the live audience, people on the TV sitting there yawning and falling asleep in the middle of like matches.
That's probably
those are the people selected.
Well, what were those screens called again from the WWE? Remember?
I don't remember what they're called.
But like they've had so many problems. Like Kenny Omega was on one of those screens at one point. And then like. There was a part where, like, I don't know how they did it. I guess someone helped, maybe hacked into it, but where, like, every screen had Eric Bischoff on the screen. I was like, you can't have nothing nice, man. So, yeah, this is the part where we just start pulling up random questions because we always breathe through them real fast. Do you want to come up here in the Star Wars shirt? No? Okay. I guess we can just, unless anyone else wants to come up, has any questions, we'll just start shooting out random questions. This will be a discussion.
Yeah.
But the one question we have are... But I'm breezing through it. What are your thoughts on celebrities in wrestling? Like Ronda.
Oh my God, I love this question. Oh my God. Okay, here's the thing though. It works. It draws ratings. Like, honestly though, I could go a little bit deeper into it. I do want to see an era of WWE where they just pick up like disgruntled UFC fighters and then continue on with football players. Cause I'm just be like, man.
Or UFC former stars, like yeah, what they did.
No, even like UFC stars today, like imagine if Derek Lewis or Israel Adesanya were to be in a WWE ring. That would pretty much withdraw money. Or Amanda Nunes as well. Yeah. Now, as for like the actual celebrities, yeah, they kind of do draw ratings. Like, TJPW had just signed Yuki Arai, who had just left one of their biggest idol groups. And granted, you know, she's still got a lot to work. She's still got a long way to go. She's actually fairly solid in the ring, and her current, I think, and her feud with Maki Ito was, is it like really, really solid on both ends, even though like most of the feud is just Ito beating her like a drum.
Yeah, it definitely seems more like a cash grab a lot of times, like when they try to get like, when they had like, I don't know, Hugh Jackman or the Lorenzo Ball kids. It definitely just seemed like a lot of times. Pee Wee Herman was another one.
However, it worked so...
Snoop Dogg.
However, it worked so well with Bad Bunny and Shaq.
But like, that's very rare sometimes, though, it seems. Because I know like a lot of times you got to go like... I know Ronda was going to school to wrestle, but even then she had, because there's a different, the judo background a little different.
Well, that's like the crazy thing is I think it was like an indie wrestler that explained it. If you want to get into pro wrestling, you got two shortcuts. First shortcut is to get into a martial art prior. And another shortcut is you do like a little bit of gymnastics depending on what style of wrestling you want to do. And it just kind of gets you into that condition.
Yeah, that's a pretty fair answer.
Long answer, yeah, it kind of does help the product. It kind of does get new eyes into the product. But, you know, when you book it, you have to be kind of careful of how you book it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So this is always the fun part where we just, like, because we run out of questions and no one else wants to come up, so we're just going to start throwing out random wrestling questions. So first, very simple one, and it can either be one star from Japan or it can be one star from Japan. So that was, what is your favorite wrestler, Maddie?
Oh, mine? Okay. Oh my God, it's a long list because
just one.
Oh my God, like wrestling's been really good this year. And there's a lot of wrestlers I've been looking into. It's more so in the independent scene. But if I have to pick a really good wrestler, my favorite wrestler, it would have to be. Originally, I was gonna say Maki Ito, but I was gonna probably. I'm probably going to say Chuck Taylor. He is. Now, here's the thing, though. Chuck Taylor is incredibly underrated. He is. But the problem with Chuck Taylor is just how he presents himself. Like, if Chuck Taylor was, like, in DDT, he'd kill it there. He would... Him and every member of Best Friends were to show up there one day, all four of them would really kill it over there.
What do you think about the Orange Cassidy's theme music? Like...
It only works on Orange Cassidy. It does not work on the other three.
I think he's a fan. Don't you have like Orange Cassidy T-shirt?
Yes, I do actually.
Yeah, it's like it's one of these in doses because like it's funny because he's been at like not just Comic Con but like other Comic Cons and yeah, he just never dropped his character. So it's like kind of funny. And it's weird because he actually can wrestle, but that's just like his one gimmick. I'm also a fan of it. But if I had the name, I think Chuck Taylor. Is it Chuck Taylor?
Yeah, Chuck Taylor.
That's actually a really good answer for AEW. But, and I'm probably going to get some boos for this. Because we watch all promotions, really. I watch a lot of Mexican wrestling, too. Lucha Libre. But if I had to pick, for WWE, it would probably be Roman. I know I'd be a lot of... Yeah, because I was like always a huge, like my favorite wrestler of all time was The Rock. So I feel like by that, I have to be a...
That's mine as well, so. Yeah. But as of all time, but yeah. Currently, you know, it's...
Which we have some Rock stickers as well. Are you more of a Stone Cold or a Rock dude?
When I was little, Stone Cold. When I got older, The Rock, because when it comes to charisma in professional wrestling, he is like the epitome of it.
Yeah, and it was always the big I was never really, I mean, I know he was a big wrestler, but I was never like too big into Stone Cold. I was more like in the Hogan and The Rock, but
that, well, again, that's just...
He was in Japan.
No. Like, the time in Japan was like, you saw what Hogan could do at max strain.
Whatever makes the money, man.
Okay, so he comes to America, and we get five moves of doom.
When he fought, like, Andre, I mean, I know it was a little before our time. That was, like, game-breaking. You know, Andre the Giant, I don't know.
Well, you know, that was the thing that me and one of my friends talked about is when you're really good at charisma, you could pretty much sell any move to the audience and they'll buy it just because you're that good of a salesman.
Yeah. I'm surprised no one even because it is season pass already, but no one even asked about Dark Side of the Ring. Has anyone seen those documentaries?
Yeah.
What do you guys think of those? appears. Yeah, they're like nuts. I thought they were like really good. And they did the one standalone in China. That was even crazier. I'm just like,
oh, look, that documentary in China does not make Triple H look good at all. Oh my God.
if those for who don't know about China was obviously wrestling in the 90s, the Attitude Era. She kind of got the raw deal of, because she was dating Triple H before Stephanie got over there. They were training on the same trainer. But they did some interviews with Billy Gunn was on there, I believe, the documentary, because he was in that faction, Generation X. But it seems like she barely got the raw deal of the breakup and everything. And obviously, she turned to adults films and her death or suicide.
No, but here's the thing, though. The cool thing about China is that she's one of the very few women's wrestlers who actually wrestled in New Japan. She wrestled against men there. And I think she actually had a match against Tanahashi.
She wrestled men in WWF.
Yeah, she wrestled men in WWF. So, and in my opinion of China, if she was, I would say that she's the greatest American, female American wrestler of all time. Like, there's very little dispute about that. And that's mostly because she has a really strong command presence. And she also has like a really strong, she's like, you know, really, really strong. And she's done things that, you know, as of right now, women can't do on a stage as big as WWF or WWE and not even AEW as well. Although, like, you know, if we were to talk about Impact, you know,
hey, I watch Impact.
That's a bit in the, no, I'm talking about that's a bit in the air with Tessa Blanchard.
So this is also again like a fun part because how many minutes? We have like at least a good 30 minutes. What questions do you want to talk about in this open, safe space, and not being too, you know?
I don't know. I'm all.
We got kids in audience.
I don't know. I'm all answers. So if you have anything to talk, because if I'm going to talk about, I'm going to end up rambling for a long period of time.
So is the Machinito hype legitimate? Is it deserved?
Well, he would say yes. But
I would actually say yes. So here's my thing about Maki Ito. What she lacks in in-ring skill, she makes up for in everything else. Like, the in-ring psychology, she makes up for it. The charisma, she makes up for it. And that's something that the Joshi scene, for the longest time, sorely lacked, was characters with charisma. And that was something that only, majoritively the Gaijin over there had. And Maki Ito kind of showed that front and center and kind of really put TJPW on the map as like, if not number one, but number two, Joshi promotion in Japan and probably in the United States as well behind Stardom. And you notice that her influence was so strong. Like if you paid attention to Stardom kind of started doing legit storylines, and you see a lot of wrestlers who previously are not known to have character, and this is starting in late 2020. Although Stardom storylines are weird, like how weird you ask? There is literally a storyline where two of the stables are gambling their stable mates away.
Yeah, not just Stardom, but like, I mean, that's wrestling in general, like the weirdest gimmicks. I don't know if that was Stardom, but where like, it was someone else, but he was famous for like spraying green mist, and he sprayed it into like a woman, right into her.
I know who you're talking about.
And because of that, storyline would believe you that she gave birth to a, 500-pound sumo? I was like,
oh my God.
Only in wrestling.
Like, dude, be careful. Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh. Yeah, right? The hand? That was like the Attitude Era, man.
Oh,
it's crazy. So, I have a question that's kind of interesting because we're somewhat of a podcast, or you could say we are a wrestling podcast. Because we're in this age where, like, dude, everyone has their own wrestling podcast. Bischoff, Rusev, you know, Bro, Jericho, Dave Meltzer.
We also have the white Stephen A. Smith, known as Jim Cornette.
Yes. So, I guess my question is, what do you think is the best wrestling podcast that's not ours?
Okay. All right, so I'm going to give a lot of shout-outs.
Or what do you think of Jim Cornette's podcast? Is he?
Oh, I'll get to Jim Cornette later. All right, so. So here's the thing, though. The best part, I'm going to give a lot of shout-outs. Okay, one of the best dudes, whether or not you agree with him, his name's Tranquilo Club. So the one skill that Tranquilo Club has is the fact that he knows how to write an essay. And this is, and he knows how to really convince people to kind of be on his side. And that is a skill to really, really have. Another great podcast is OSW and Brian Zane's Wrestling with Regret. Those two are amazing. Now, if we were to talk about the likes of Brian, well, Brian Alvarez is entertaining. So we're going to talk about Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer is like, when he gets to the criticisms, believe it or not, there's a lot of clout behind it. I don't agree with it all the time. And Dave Meltzer has issues with context.
Do you guys know who Dave Meltzer is?
Okay, yeah.
So like, for those who don't know, he was like,
So my thing on Jim Cornette, he is literally white Stephen A. Smith. If you ask for Jim Cornette, you're going to get Jim Cornette, just like Stephen A. Smith. You ask for Stephen A. Smith, that's what you're going to get.
That's pretty fair show.
So
we didn't even talk about Chris Van Vliet.
Van Vliet's amazing too. I'm going to go back to Jim Cornette a little bit. Again, dude's a massive clout chaser. he is like the biggest clout chaser, and it works. It works well. It's just, you know, he might have to dial it back sometimes because the awareness is coming up that when you take people's words, they kind of don't think about it, don't sit there and think about it. They just, you know, act it blindly on it.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah, you know, there is one incident that recently happened that I'm like highlighting on because, you know, it's pretty awful. You know, granted.
That's a different discussion.
Yeah. Granted, that's a different discussion.
but there's definitely a lot of podcasts because we're in that age right now. I do really like the Chris Van Vliet's interview with Vampiro the first time. He's so calm, and then he just, like, you know, flies out the handle. Like within a second. That's definitely a very good interview if you're into AAA or CNN.
Oh, no. You know what I think about when Chris Van Vliet? He had an interview, and I don't know the name of the MMA fighter, right? And I think Miro's character is based off of this, where Miro's current character, where, like, he would talk. He had spent, like, a very, very long time talking about how he was God's chosen warrior and, like, all these things right here. Huh? Yes, thank you so much.
Yes.
I was like, man, did Miro just watch that podcast? And he was like, yeah, I kind of want to be like that guy right there.
Some of those answers. Yeah. So, you've been to live shows, right? Like,
I've been to several, yes.
What is probably your, have you been to any pay-per-views?
No. Either I have work that day or it costs too much.
Well, simple as that. What is for WWE? Was one of your favorite pay-per-views, or have you seen?
I have never been to a WWE. Pay-per-view.
Have you ever watched a WWE pay-per-view, like on television? Or
oh yeah, there? I have watched it live.
What was one of your favorites?
Recently, Backlash 2020, and that's just it's solely because of the main event. And that was between Randy Orton and Edge, and what was known as the greatest match ever. Because I was coming in watching it, thinking it's going to be a huge joke. I was wrong. It was actually a well-constructed match.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah.
I guess for me, if I was to pick, I mean, because like AEW is frankly new. Everyone can always say, you know, Double or Nothing's the best one for AEW. But for WWE, again, because I'm a 90s kid, and I checked out of wrestling for like the longest time. Like, I missed the whole CM Punk like run. But I was, even though it wasn't what the hype was, I was really cool with that WCW versus WCW invasion. It wasn't really what they fleshed out to be, but I was really a fan of that.
Ooh, and then, that's a hot take.
I know, right?
A lot of people hated that.
I know. But it was like, because my era was up. And I remember, I think it was SummerSlam 2010, mm-hmm. and it was Rollins versus Roman. I thought that was a pretty good match. Mm-hmm. Was that SummerSlam 2010?
Yeah.
Okay. Those are like some of my favorite WWE.
I don't know. If we have to go a little bit further back, Money in the Bank 2011.
Was that first one with Edge? Or?
No. Money in the Bank 2011 was between... The main event was between CM Punk and John Cena. And this was Summer of Punk CM Punk. Where, like, the whole story was CM Punk kind of presented himself as sort of this like rebel underdog. Like he kind of was fed up with the WWE product. It was kind of this like really cool meta thing. And then like he presented John Cena as someone like the New York Yankees, or you know, generally those great dynasty teams who just wins all the time and that you know everybody else is sick of except for the people who live there.
What are your thoughts as far as in wrestling, if ever going to get back to it, for Cena and CM Punk? Because I know like Cena's kind of doing his own thing.
I don't think CM Punk's ever going to get back into wrestling. I think you know, it always says never say never, but I don't think at this moment he won't because, again, like that wrestling passion and that wrestling taste in his mouth was smacked out really hard. And it's just like, yeah, yeah, I can kind of see it.
What about, of course?
It is, yeah, that is.
If the price is right, CM Punk has said it himself. If the price is right.
Yeah, you know, yeah, CM Punk did clown it pretty hard in MMA, though. He.
What about for Cena?
Huh?
What about for John Cena? Oh, my bad. They have stairs too, obviously.
Alright, so what about Cena? Yeah, Cena's going to make that occasional appearance. Again, Cena does have a lot of clout behind him. He's not on the Rock's level. I don't think he'll ever be. But he does have a lot of clout behind him, and he will draw in a pretty massive crowd. And it's kind of weird that posthumously people are more warm to John Cena than he was than peak Cena.
Yeah, it's funny how that goes around.
Yeah.
I was always like, yo, is Thugnomics ever going to come back? Dr. Thugnomics?
Yeah.
Is he a character?
Yeah, in a way it did twice. Like, both of them happened at a WrestleMania.
For that split second, but like, is it going to come back again?
We even saw a prototype John Cena. John Cena before he went into WWE.
What do you think as far as like his weird haircut? Have you ever seen him like his actual hair? He looks like Guy Gardner. No, like that superhero.
No, you know who he looks like? He looks like Mark Wahlberg with a lot more muscle.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So we got a new question. Hey, see what it is. Oh, you might be better versed at this. So when Roman Reigns finally does hang it up, what do you think would be the new face or the next face?
Holy crap, that is an incredibly hard question. Or even on the roster. Oh my god, that is a hard question. And that kind of highlights one of the biggest problems of WWE at the moment.
Is it going to be Dolph Ziggler's time to sign?
No.
AJ Styles, the phenomenal one?
No, that's like because WWE is like really struggling with pushing new stars. Like I'd probably say it's probably a female wrestler. I'd probably say my best bet would be Bianca Belair. Huh?
For the whole roster.
For the entire roster, my best bet would probably be someone like Bianca Belair. Like that's give or take if Becky Lynch doesn't come back. Because it's either her, Rhea Ripley. You're probably gonna see like someone like Cameron Grimes be noticeable, but not quite there. You'll probably see somebody like Karrion Kross be somewhere, but not quite at the top.
They definitely are pushing Bobby Lashley. I think Money in the Bank comes out today, right?
You know, to be fair though, Bobby Lashley won every belt in Impact Wrestling. He kind of deserves it.
But I don't know. I would love for Ziggler to get his moment in his spot again. For me, it has to be Ziggler. I know he may not get it, but I just feel like he had such a good run.
Yeah, when it comes to like younger talent, that's where WWE heavily struggles, and that's like an incredibly hard question.
You'd like this question.
Oh, okay.
He's a Japan mark, so you can read it.
All right, let me read it. All right. What's the best Japanese promotion then or now, excluding the big two? Okay, so I'm assuming the big two would be All Japan and New Japan. Okay, so the best Japanese promotion back then, I would probably say FMW, even though it ran into a lot of problems. I mean, a lot of problems. And then it kind of like was kind of killed cold when they lost their star player, Hayabusa. Okay, so for now, I actually have two that are worth watching. Well, three that are worth watching. First one, I like to give a highlight to Noah whenever they do have a show. Like, Noah's pretty much killing it, but they've always been that coked up wrestling promotion. Dragon Gate's kind of similar to that as well. They're kind of like really coked up. And another one is DDT, even if you take it super seriously or you don't, because when DDT's comedy, it's one thing, it's like really entertaining and off the wall. But when they're not doing comedy, you realize that a lot of those guys are really good in the ring. Like Shuma and Konosuke Takeshita.
That's cool. So I'm gonna kind of curve as we wait on that question.
Yeah, but the big two, those promotions are like, those three in general are like kind of killing it right now.
Here's a question that I get a lot of times from people, wrestling fans. What is the best wrestling video game?
Best wrestling?
Do you play a lot of wrestling video games?
Is it of all time?
It can be of all time, yeah.
Everyone that uses the AKI, every game that uses the AKI engine, that includes WCW versus NWO World Tour, WCW versus NWO Revenge, and most famously, WWF No Mercy.
Yeah, it's always WWE versus No Mercy. No Mercy's definitely always won.
SmackDown versus Raw 2006 is SmackDown, not too far behind.
No one ever said it's WrestleMania in UK, but it had Creative Mode belts, you had Creative Mode stables.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
and again, like, yeah, WrestleMania 2K isn't too far behind. Oh my god, look. Okay, yeah, Fire Pro...
Install your own combo right here.
Yeah. I can't even do a straight face with Fire Pro because a lot of the time it can be... It is, like, great on its own merit just because of how much you could do on Fire Pro. And a lot of people on Twitter and Reddit kind of highlights that. Like, especially, like, when you see some insane move done... Like Fire Pro, that you'll see it trying to be imitated on Fire Pro. Like, have y'all seen like the move Mizuki's Whirling Candy, where it's literally like, it's hard to explain, but it's sort of like this cross body with like two extra turns on it, but it's like a standing cross body.
Yeah, I really want. And I don't know if it's technically got canceled, but I wanted a Lucha Underground video game so bad. Like where Prince Puma and everything, John Morrison. Yeah, it would be awesome. I don't even know what the story would be because they do like cinematic stories with Rob Rodriguez.
Oh my god, like if Lucha Underground was still here today, they'd probably kill it.
There's always small bits of rumors that it might come back because I know that promoter Dario Cuarto, whatever his name is, apparently he's in talks with Lucha Libre and CMLL again.
Well, right now he's in with MLW.
Yeah, so like there's always hints that potentially Lucha Underground could come back, but no. So we have another question, and I know you're going to have thoughts on this, as I try not to butcher this to make sure I'm reading it right. Thoughts on the WWE releases, which were mistakes, which were stealth, and so that the rest of it could come back as a surprise. You know, like how sometimes they fire them, like Rockstar, yes, quote-unquote fire, yes, right, like Rockstar Spud or Drew McIntyre. He came back, or even Drew Maverick. And I feel like Braun Strowman, if we got to Braun Strowman, might come back. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Me? All right, look, I am not a backstage guy. I don't, you know, I'm not the guy that will call, like, have, like, that kind of connection to be like, hey, man, what's going on back here?
Don't you know Dave Meltzer? Aren't you a Meltzer boy?
Well, So when it comes to, like, criticisms, I do like Meltzer. But when it comes to everything else, I'm just like, yeah, well, whatever. But, a lot of them were clear mistakes. A lot of them were like Ty Conti. That was a clear mistake for WWE to release her. Andrade and Malakai Black were clear mistakes of releasing them. Clear as day. Some of them you're not too sure about. Say releasing the Iconics, although I'd say like...
Iconics!
But I kind of say like people do love them and they are kind of behind them. So I can see them pop up one day. But then again, like, you know, when you get released from a wrestling company, it's not the end of the world. Because, you know, it's kind of, it, it, if you remember back in the territory days, like, people would lose the company and have, like, a tour, like, all of, like, in all these different, like, territories, and then when they come back bigger than ever, sort of.
That is true. It's not the end of the world, but I know also for the talent, sometimes it can be, like, disheartening, like, damn, I've been with this company for how many years, and, like, that, you're gone? But I know that's how the wrestling business, too, especially now with AEW and all these other promotions, easier to go pick up, but I know, like, everyone loves, and I'm not just on WWE, because I watch a lot of WWE, but because they're the ones that pay the most money. Now, you can get paid pretty well at AEW, and...
Actually, there are a lot of indie stars. Yeah. Believe it or not, make six figures a year just by touring.
They were talking to Moxley and Jericho's boss about that. Like, he was getting pretty great, like, some, like, you know, Brock Lesnar top money. And then he was like, yeah, but do I need that top money? And that's why a lot of people go to other brands, because you can get more work of that. So it's like, I don't know, man. It's a flip of the coin. It's how the business is, you know. It's just one of those things. But that's kind of gets the brief version of it, as far as what I kind of think on that. Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's hard to tell. Like, unless you, like, know an insider, or, like, know what's going on behind the scenes, like, hey, what's the rationality of this? Like, I know for Strowman's case, I don't know if you've heard, he was, he had a bad rep, and it could be, like, probably a not justifiable cause, but he was apparently, like, notorious for not showing up on time, being late, leaving early. When he was, like, disappeared for, like, that brief period, he was, because they have a heavyweight protocol, which, like, to do in UFC, where you have to, like, set certain pounds, they feel like, you go to, like, a roster, like, okay, are you healthily cleared?
Cause he was, I don't think it's the same with WWE.
Well, no, it is, because I remember I was reading about it with Strowman, and even Big Show had to go through. Remember, like, when Big Show got, like, buff? You know, he lost some of his. But anyway, because they go through those health calls, and if you don't, like, pass them, they're like, well... Because even Mark Henry's didn't even talk about that when he first said that. I was like, well, we can send you, you know, somewhere out in the middle of nowhere to have you lose weight and have you on the back burner, but it's just so much, like... And I don't want to say statistics, because maybe that's not the right word, but, like, so many, like, factors that go into it, so it's like,
well,
it's just kind of hard to tell. That's just my opinion, but...
Well, no, here's the thing that really hurts Strowman the most, is his opinions on indie wrestling. That's what's going to kill him a lot, because I'm like, well, here's the thing with...
It wasn't telling...
No.
Kurt Angle's former wife to go
on first. And I think it was direct when he had a conversation with Evil Uno and Luchasaurus, where he was just dogging on indie wrestling that day, and I was just like, good dude, that's gonna come bite you in the behind.
That's fair.
It's either they're gonna play hardball with you, and I mean really hardball, or they're just not gonna work with you. That's just how that is. That's how that is across, like, a lot of businesses.
You think Vince McMahon knows about indie wrestling or knows about other promoters?
Oh, yeah, no, he definitely knows about
that. You think so? Because it's Rusev, so it's like, who would ever wear it? But he was acting like...
Triple H more so. Triple H, of all the jokes I make about Triple H, the one thing he does know how to do is he knows how to scout out talent. He kind of knows how to pick and choose who is the best wrestler for that moment. And he knows how to really present them in NXT. That is, like, something I could never, ever, ever take away from him.
Yeah, because it was Rusev's interview, but they were talking about, like, how a lot of these indie stars, or I don't know if AJ Styles was really, I mean, I know he started indie, but when he was coming up, like, Vince really didn't know about all these stars, because a lot of times it's like, he just sends a team out there to pick them
for him, so he knows,
like, they're out there.
Actually, but... no, Vince was kind of aware of AJ Styles, because AJ Styles did had a tryout in WWE once upon a time, and at that time, he just wasn't the guy for them at that moment, but then, like, 10 years later, when AJ Styles kind of really built his brand, that's when they were, like, really, got really interested into him. So according to AJ Styles himself, I think in the Stone Cold podcast, the main reason why he joined WWE is he kind of wanted to be in America. And at that time, WWE was obviously the biggest platform there. It still is now. It's just WWE didn't have that, like, death grip on the industry as they used to. They still have a grip, but it's not that death grip.
Yeah, I've heard different things, but...
Yeah.
I guess we can move on from that topic. You got anything else you want to throw out there? We still got, like, at least, like, 15 minutes.
When it comes to the releases, I actually had said my spill about that. Actually, again,
So here's a kind of random question I'm throwing out there. Who is your favorite wrestling wardrobe? You know, like how, like, especially nowadays, they do all these parodies of, like, anime. Like, I know Shayna Baszler did some parody of
all right, yeah. Can I enjoy the Joshi scene?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
As long as you don't say, like, oh, that one time Kenny Omega dressed up as Sword Art Online. And I was like,
no.
Any anime you can pick.
No, Kenny Omega's done worse. There was actually a match where he dressed as Princess Jasmine. Kid you not.
I've seen
that happened.
It's not... No, Disney, yes, Disney printed.
Oh my god, when it comes to the best outfits.
No, Triple H used to have a lot of cool
stuff. I have several. Okay, so I kind of like Konami's current outfit, and I also liked her outfit prior to her joining the Tokyo Cyber Squad. That's number one. Number two, love Yuka Sakazaki's outfit.
He also has a big jark for Japanese girls in wrestling.
Thank you. Another one, I love Maki Ito's outfit. Another one, I love Kazuchika Okada's gear, like when he had the trunks. I like John Moxley's new early New Japan gear. That was amongst the best. It made him. It kind of made him look like he was about to fight. Again, I could go all day with this.
Really good.
Hold on. And another hot one is I do like the Young Bucks' gear.
Which one? It was like whenever Ryu and Ken, the Power Rangers.
Every single time.
The mustaches.
No, my favorite one's every single time they try to do the drip. It's either because they're making fun of Seth Rollins. I get the feeling they're making fun of Seth Rollins, or they're just like, no, we're going to dress this way just because it makes us look like douchebags, and I kind of love that.
It's funny. Yeah, it's a pretty good answer. I'm a giant weeb sometimes, so anytime they do anything like anime sprite, I really thought it was funny when they did when the best friend dressed up as Rick and Morty, and they had Dan Harmon do the voice for the intro. Oh, that was pretty clever. Yeah, anything like that. So that's a question. Who has the best belt design? UFW. That's my answer.
Who has the best belt? Oh my god, that's hard, because there are some incredible belt designs.
We have a Kane sticker.
Like, there are some really good ones, but then there are some that are just flat out ugly. But I think, like, the best one, and if I have to choose, and this was a hard choice, would be NXT UK's belt design.
Very shiny.
That one looked beautiful. Now, if it's of all time, the Winged Eagle belt. If you remember the Winged Eagle belt, oh my god, that was like the belt to have.
It's a pretty cool answer. What else? I'm trying to think of other questions as I look at my stickers. What do you think, as far as, like, I don't want to name any names, but, like, some wrestlers being, like, stiff and, like, having, like, because they said, like, when training, like,
Alright, so this has been a common problem when you run into different styles of wrestling. And especially when you wrestle somebody from Japan who kind of trains in those dojos like that.
That's true.
I'm not speaking from an experience point of view, I'm speaking from a purely analytical point of view, where it's like, yeah, a lot of wrestlers kind of had that reputation, and I think Bayley had an interview where the biggest complaint of Asuka is that when she had trained with a lot of wrestlers,
like,
in America,
I say, I'm not trying to mention any wrestlers,
she would, like, leave a lot of bruises on the women, and so she had kind of had to tone it down.
Apparently China had that problem too, like when she fought, like, Stable and everything.
And that is like one of the biggest complaints about Saray and NXT, where it's like, yeah, she kind of wrestles super stiff. I'm like, dude, Hana Kimura kind of, like, wrestles like that, where she does drop kicks like that, where she does big boots like that, where she does, like, you know, where she does, like, moves like that. That's a common... And I guess, like, even though the way Cornette said it, it was really ugly how he said it, but he kind of had a point. It's like, if you're in America, you kind of want to pick up a lot of the things in the American style. And that's like one, and that right there is one of the reasons where it's like, yeah, you know, you don't want to wrestle way too stiff, because you you can't, because not everybody's conditioned to take blows like that. That's Russell. Yeah, that's a different time though. I mean, Carl Gotch kind of wrestled rough as well.
Like, so. I was thinking, like, the Iron Sheik. Because, like, apparently from the training style, he's notorious for, like, just, like, close hand, punching you as hard as he can. And RVD, which was one of his trainers, it does that too. They were talking about an interview where, like, RVD fought Chris Benoit. And he asked him to kick him so hard in the face. And he did, and it was funny because Chris Brown was like, said he was grinning so hard. But like, yeah, some wrestlers are just like that. Like, I know. I said we weren't gonna name wrestlers, but like, Bubba Dudley, right?
No. If it's stiff like that, oh no.
Yeah.
If I was a pro wrestler and someone stiffed me like that, oh no, we're going backstage and we're gonna throw some hands.
Yeah. Or like, there's always. They said it was a mistake. I hope he doesn't pop up behind the curtains and, you know, chokes by me. But when Brock Lesnar dropped, it was Crash Holly.
Yeah, no, both Hardcore Holly and Brock Lesnar claimed that incident was a mistake. But that looked like a sandbagging, though.
Do you want to tell them what happened for anyone that doesn't know?
All right, so Brock Lesnar powerbombed him. Apparently, it was a botch. Didn't look like a botch. And it ended up breaking Hardcore Holly's neck. And he was out for, like, a long time.
You see that, like, stuff happen all the time, like, as far as, like, take, like, AJ Styles, you know, obviously, if you watch him in Japan or when he was Impact, he used to have a lot of other, like, crazier moves that he just doesn't do anymore because some wrestlers...
Again, I think Matt Hardy explained it the best. When you get up there in age, there are just a bunch of moves you can't do anymore.
That would be a question I would love to ask Christian, because, like, I know we're getting off topic of that, but, like, it's like, because they're going to have their panel later, I was like, I want to know, like, are we going to see Christian into some TLC matches with Hardy? Probably not, because we're talking about. But that would be pretty neat. Yeah. We're probably going to do that. Although Cody Rhodes didn't take that crazy headshot. Oh, remember when he fought his was it MJF?
No. It was. I think it was Sean Spears that did it. But then I loved it. I loved that spot and hated it at the same time because I was just like, man.
You see his kid like me.
Yeah, it was supposed to be giving. But he ended up with stitches in his head, so...
Yeah, that's what it was like. I never know, like, because, like, they didn't even talk to Taz about that, like, because when Taz used to... Because I used to listen to Taz podcast before he talked about AEW, but I was like, yo, are these chairs real? Because some of these chair shots, especially in the heyday, like, 90s and stuff, I was like, you hear about the concussion protocols with Benoit and, like, other wrestlers, Dark Side of the Ring, shit, a lot of that, but I was like, I think these tables are real, man. Well, I know they take, again, the... Spoilers for wrestling. They take out like the legs of the tables like this, so it's easier to go through. But I think that stuff still hurts, like getting slammed through a table or taking a chair shot.
No, here's the thing. It's a weird concept with the table because the point of the table is like sometimes it's like to make it look like things hurt and also to kind of cushion the fall.
Yeah, but like people like legit get like hurt. Like
yeah, no, people do legit get hurt on them because even when, like, you land on it wrong,
yeah,
it kind of sucks.
Like they even talk about, like, you know, the announce table, whatever they do. Mm-hmm. Like when Booker, and that was also came out this year, the AE documentary is about the WWE stars, like where Booker T fought Stone Cold for the first time when they had the invasion and he slammed on the table and one of the TV place went right in his back. I was like, that shit looks painful, man. I was like, I guess you gotta be a whole nother creature. And then, like, you also have the thing of, like, hey, that's a kingpin. That's what's up, man. So you have to... That's what's up.
Oh, my God.
But that's really throwing me off. It was like, but yeah, you hear, like, that stuff, and, like, you're like, wow, these guys are just taking a beat. And, oh, yeah, like, or you have to deal with, like, crazy fans. Or I'm gonna jump the ribs. It happens every now and then. I was like, oh man, we're just crazy sometimes. We have about 4 minutes, so we have 4 minutes. We can still talk. I'll let you know when they cut us off. They'll probably cut a pipe bomb and cut us mics off. If you have a question, yes, sir. You want to come up and answer it, or? Okay.
What did you think of Samoa Joe posting the tweet about him texting some random dude thinking that guy's uncle?
Did you hear about that with Samoa Joe?
Actually, I have not heard about that.
What was it? Like, can you explain it? We haven't heard about that.
Samoa Joe went on Twitter talking about how trolling has gone stale these days. And he was texting this guy for years thinking that guy didn't think that was his uncle.
Oh,
trolling getting stale.
Wow. Yeah.
No, nah, man. I don't know, man.
That's trolling at its finest. Wow.
I don't know, man.
It is trolling at its finest. But I could be that. Wow.
It's like, I don't know, man. Clout chasing has been a national sport on Twitter for a very long time. I mean, like,
do I want to be that guy, though? I mean, social media is, like, such a weird thing, because, like, you can literally say anything about anyone, and you're like, you don't think there's repercussions, but...
Oh, no, there definitely is repercussions if you say something terrible on social media. It's not so much if you say something people don't agree with. If you say something that's blatantly terrible, and in fact, like, lately...
Well, we can, again, keep it PG.
Lately, if you see a lot of, like...
I was going to talk about, like, with the whole... Because I mean, like, I feel like... Now, granted, he didn't physically do it, but I feel like Sammy Guevara kind of got, like, off a little easy. Now, that's just my opinion, but I'm like...
Do you even know what happened to Sammy Guevara?
Oh, I know what he said.
Not what he said, but his exact punishment.
Yeah, they just suspended for, what, 3 months with no pay? That was it.
Yeah, you
for
know where
three
that...
3 months.
You know where that pay went to?
Charity, yeah. Women's. I know where it went. Yeah. I know exactly his punishment. I feel like he got off really easy.
I don't know,
some wrestlers, like, their career is just over.
No. That was... No, if you compared that to,
again,
Velveteen...
These views on the podcast are not public, but I think they're about...
No, if you compared that with, like, Velveteen Dream,
We got, like, 1 minute.
Oh, we got like 1 minute.
We got to wrap it up.
All right, yeah. Real quick, if you compared that to Velveteen Dream, you know, I think they were quick to punish him. Like, whereas with Velveteen Dream, they kind of, like, drug their feet with it. You know, it's... You know, he didn't...
Yeah, and then you have other cases about, like, allegedly, from what they've done in this PG panel, from, like, what Joey Ryan and those guys did.
Oh, God, no. You know what? One of my friends called it. He called it a long time ago on Reddit, and he got a lot of fire from it back then. Today, when you talk about Joey Ryan, he's just like, yep, I feel vindicated. Screw all of you right here.
And I think,
screw all of you who doubted me.
I think that's it. We're going to end it on this. right? That's a great go on. He's got cutting the weapon squalified. Yeah. But yeah, thanks for coming out, guys. This has been Wrestling Chit Chat. If you want to follow us, we're at Mark Boys. I don't have any business cards right now. You follow my YouTube channel, the video will go. And you want to plug your channel before they leave?
No, but I do have a Twitter account, though. You can follow me there.
Like a trip.
Although, like, I do ask a lot of weird questions that go unanswered, so be aware of that.
So what is your Twitter, as we just talked about trolling?
My Twitter goes by MagicSD1, or my Twitter name is Magic Underwood. You could look it up there. I do have a YouTube channel, although I haven't really touched it in a while, and that's just because time restraints. I've had so much overtime, it's just a ridiculous amount of overtime just because we were that short-handed.
But, yeah, thanks for coming out, guys. Give yourself a hand. All right,
man, thank y'all so much.